Stop me if you've heard this one. Two Canadians go into a restaurant and one Canadian says to the other Canadian, welcome to wherever you are. This is Ryan McNeil and you are listening to part four of Wicked Little Town, my audio dispatches for the matinee cast, coming to you from the Toronto International Film Festival, which wrapped up tonight. It is Sunday, September 16th, and I am sitting down with my wonderful wife. How are you, hon?
Tired.
Me too. I haven't seen you all week. I think we've hit a record low for the amount of films we've seen together.
I've seen three in total.
Four if you count American Beauty.
Well, we saw two back-to-back that night. Right. So we saw three days together.
Right.
First day, last day, and one in the middle.
Yes, and even that one in the middle was like Friday.
Yeah.
So it was like later middle.
And I haven't seen you at home.
No,
we're on different schedules.
Yes,
if I have a night screening, you have morning screenings,
yes.
So we're not home at the same time.
This is true.
Feels like a first date right now.
Which is appropriate, all things considered. We just come out of The Master. It was our last film to schedule. I don't want to go too far into it because it is actually the next full episode.
Mm-hmm.
But general thoughts? I'm getting the impression that you weren't nuts about it.
I really wanted to love it.
Okay.
And I can't really say what I didn't like about it because there isn't really stuff I didn't like about it. It just felt empty. It didn't move me in any way. It didn't make me feel anything. It was beautiful to look at because, of course, we saw 70mm print. And there was some scenes where I was like, wow, look at the color and the contrast. Like, very well photographed.
Right.
And good storytelling. But it left me cold. I don't know. I didn't.
I think that's the thing, though. I think it is actually a very hit. It's a very cold story. A lot of his stories, or Paul Thomas Anderson's stories, are.
Yeah, but it didn't engage me as it would. As good as Joaquin Phoenix was, I felt like he was doing his best Popeye impression for most of it.
That's
like
true.
He was doing that one squinty eye and he had that weird walk.
Well, part of me thought he had a stroke. He doesn't. Like, there's no explanation for it, but part of me thought that he was, like, epitomizing, like, a stroke.
He's a great actor.
He is. I mean, like, welcome back to the party.
It was hard to watch him for that amount of time. He had a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
And doing that mumbly one-eye thing, it's hard to watch after a while.
Is any of this stewing on the way that...
a lot of it's my last film, and I'm tired.
I was going to say, there's that. There's also the fact that we've heard a lot of great things about it this week.
To do with it because I mean a lot of I've said to you I saw 25 films in the last week.
Yeah.
And I'd say about 20 of them were like I loved more than I probably should have loved. Like,
right.
I've been giving 5 stars and stuff that probably don't deserve 5 stars. I don't know if I'm in a place where I'm just liking everything.
Okay.
And maybe it's just because this one hit me so late in the festival that I'm so tired.
It could be. I said for quite some time that I was ramping up to this, and actually that was how my week played out. I complained.
You should remember that you never ramp up to anything on the last day.
No.
The last day is a ramp down.
Yeah, I would have been better off finishing tonight with something like Ghost Graduation.
I would have loved to have finished the festival with,
you know,
Ghost Graduation.
I don't know what else was playing tonight, but this was kind of the wrong choice. I probably should have gone for it on Tuesday.
And I wouldn't have seen this at the festival. I never would have picked it. It was only because we do make some effort to see the last film together every year.
Yeah.
And you had already put this on your schedule, so I thought, why not?
Well, see, there's your first problem. Don't follow me.
I know, that's true.
You know, my listeners know that.
I have nothing that I have against, like, longer, I don't want to say more serious films. But when it's TIFF and we're seeing 25 in 10 days, I tend to go for lighter stuff just because it's the only thing that kind of gets me going. Like, I have seen a lot of comedies and fun stuff this week, so it's not something I would have picked, especially because I know I could see it soon.
Did you notice... Was it my imagination, or was the crowd really muted at the end of that?
Very muted.
It was like, okay.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Keep it up.
Cheers. Thanks.
No worries.
They were, yeah, it was a very, very dull applause. Now,
and
there's nobody there, so really you're clapping for no one.
Yeah, but
anyways.
The funny thing is, the last time I experienced that kind of audience was a couple months ago. I was in New York, and I saw Death of a Salesman with Philip Seymour Hoffman again. And he gave a very, very intense performance. And I mean, it was brilliant, and the play was brilliant. But because when it ended, it was so intense.
Everybody was just exhausted.
Nobody knew if they should clap or not because it ends at a very serious note.
Yeah.
And then the actors come out for a bow, and they look like they're about to pass out because they've just given this emotional performance. So the audience didn't know, even though everybody loved it, nobody knew how to respond.
I was actually kind of waiting for a gut shot ambivalent ending, because Anderson loves to do that. Like, you think about Mark Wahlberg talking into the mirror at the end of Boogie Nights, certainly the end of There Will Be Blood. He just likes to,
I don't remember how There Will Be Blood ends. Don't say announce for spoilers, but
he just likes to stop. He doesn't actually like to end a story. He just kind of stops playing. So sort of waiting for the end of that. But yeah, I think part of me thinks the whole crowd is just exhausted, which is weird, because 2 hours and 20 minutes before that, when we sat down, there was kind of a buzz in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that place was really chatty. Everybody was really, really jacked to see it. And then, yeah, 2 hours and 20 minutes later, everybody was in some
sort
of state of shock.
Again, I think it's because of that. It's because of that film, partly, I think. Not that it was a downer. So it wasn't particularly a downer.
It's kind of a downer.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I've seen more depressing things. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not like watching some horror film. It just had this kind of muted energy to it that I felt like kind of sucked the life out of the room a little bit.
It's possible.
I feel like I'm the only person who has lukewarm feelings towards it. Like,
I don't think you are.
Raving.
No, I don't think you are.
And I can't tell if it's because it's the last day and I'm tired.
I think we'll get a better sense of that as it starts to open up. Like, it's going to open in Toronto this weekend, on the 21st, and like into September and October it'll go wider and wider, and I do expect people to start going to see it and saying, what the hell. So this morning, a little bit ahead of schedule, the festival group announced that the People's Choice Award winner was Silver Linings Playbook, which, if you're listening to this show, Jess Rogers and I talked about Silver Linings Playbook on part one, so do check that out. But you had not seen it.
No,
was that on your radar at all?
Yeah, it was on my shortlist was 92 films, and I had to narrow that down to 25. And that one got struck out only because it had a release date. And the release date's pretty soon.
November.
Yeah, but that's pretty soon. There's some movies that have release dates, I'd say 2013, with no month on it. That could be like the end of next year. I had already picked, I try not to see too many films that have release dates at the festival, and I had already had a few like guilty pleasures that I knew I really wanted to go to the premiere of Perks of Being a Wallflower at the festival, just because I wanted the experience of it. That is also coming out, so I kind of had already set aside my allotment for films with release dates, and so that one just is the only reason. It was nothing against the film. I actually watched the trailer today after it won the audience choice. I haven't seen the movie. Actually would like you to watch the trailer and let me
I've seen the trailer.
I feel like it told me a lot more about the film than I would want to know going into it.
It does. It also sells the film very, very strangely. It makes the film look more cute than it is. The film, it's funny. The film is very witty. It's really sharp and really fast, and Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence do this thing where they're almost trying to out-talk each other. You sort of see it come up in, like, a Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've made fun of it on, like, Gilmore Girls, where people are talking just a little too quick.
You normally hate that.
I know. It's right on the line. Like, it's right on the line. It pushes things right to the red every time. And, yeah, it does show a lot. It shows things that happen in the last 15 minutes, which I don't know why.
And you know what? Not having seen it,
you sort of got that impression.
I felt like I was watching some of the climax of the movie.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not quite the story that they tell you in the trailer. There's a lot more going on, and a lot they're putting the emphasis on something that's not the crux of the film. There's a lot more to what you're seeing in those scenes in the trailer that they're not tipping off.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. That's one thing the trailer does well, is that it doesn't quite tell you what's going on in those moments. Now the funny thing though is that it is not the kind of film that wins People's Choice. People's Choice tends to go one of two things. Either really weighty, award bait type films. I'm thinking of like The King's Speech and Precious and American Beauty and Hotel Rwanda. Or really, really crowd-pleasing, sorry, really, really crowd-pleasing films like Zatoichi and...
Zatoichi win?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, Slumdog Millionaire, Whale Rider,
Speaking of Zatoichi, I'm just going to make a moment.
Sure.
A little aside. Sasha James, who I loaned that my DVD of Zatoichi to, please watch it and return it.
You're assuming Sasha James listens to the show, that she doesn't.
Just in case.
For a fact that she doesn't. Although you're on, so there's a chance. But a well-written romantic comedy does not take people's choice. I don't know why, because there have been some good ones. I'm thinking of stuff like Juno, for instance.
I actually thought People's Choice was going to go to The Sapphires,
okay,
which I really, really loved, and it had a lot of buzz.
Tell people a bit about The Sapphires, because I don't think many people have been talking about that.
Okay, The Sapphires is basically The Commitments, except with girls and in Australia. And it's
what
great.
More do you want?
I loved everything about it. It's the same kind of concept where they're putting together a soul group. This time it's a girls group, and it takes the baseline of the story is that they're touring Vietnam during the war, playing for the soldiers.
Okay.
It's a great film. Chris O'Dowd steals the entire film. I actually don't know if it would be as good without him, if it had been another actor, because he just oozes charm. Yeah, he basically recreates like that bridesmaid's charm that he has. A lot of buzz was for that. I'm surprised it didn't even get the runner-up. It wasn't in the running, really. And I thought if that didn't get it, then it would either be Argo, which I didn't see, but I've heard a lot about, or Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh.
Why are you saying that? I loved it.
It's a wonderful film. It's been trumped up bigger than it is by its fanbase.
No, it was a great film.
It is a small, personal film.
I understand that I am its fan base.
Yes.
But
it is a small, personal film that is wonderfully done. Wonderfully, wonderfully done. But it is it is a love letter to his fans, is what it is. He took time off, made a movie. Joss Whedon, I'm sorry, because we talked about him in the last episode. The him in question, the his fans, the fan base. It's Joss Whedon's fans.
Now you say that, you're assuming that Joss Whedon fans would love William Shakespeare, which they probably, I wouldn't think that the demographic is all Shakespeare fans.
I think that is completely incidental. I think that a lot of the people there probably had never seen Shakespeare, had never read Shakespeare. That didn't
That's
matter.
A generalization.
Yes, it is.
But I'm just saying,
I think it's
a love letter to his fans. I don't think
it is,
would expect
what it is,
Shakespeare
is,
for
it is
them.
A broader, slightly bigger Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but there have been better
Except
things.
Except I thought
there
it was
have been better
made.
Things this week.
I thought it was a great movie. It was so refreshing to see a film of Shakespeare dialogue, and nobody put on a fake British accent, not one actor.
No.
I loved that, and they still had they still read it in a way that it sounded great. They put a lot of care. It was just great. I loved everybody in it, and it stars Wesley and Fred from, I know they have real names, but I don't care, from Angel.
Yeah. We did talk about this in the last episode, so I'm gonna move on from Much Ado.
Okay.
I'm with you. I didn't see Argo, but based on everybody who I talked to about it and the vibe I was getting back, I thought that was a serious contender. It's got the Canadian angle, too, and they usually like to play a Canadian angle. So I really thought that was going to be the sort of film that went with it. I'm somewhat surprised that The Master didn't.
I didn't really
just
think
come
that
just
would.
Be just because of the buzz coming out of those first two screenings, because everybody who saw it again really loved it, really really loved it. So I thought it was going to go with one of those two. I thought it was going to go with something that had award prestige.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the ads we've been seeing in front of our movies all week have been pick the next great film, and they're isolating the three best picture winners: King's Speech, American Beauty, and Slumdog Millionaire. I thought that was kind of what they were angling to do, is get something that could potentially win Best Picture. Silver Linings Playbook, as much as I love it, it's not going to win Best Picture. It's not that kind of movie. Certainly not in a year where you've got a Hobbit, a Les Mis, a Django Unchained. You're not going to get The Master. You're not going to see Silver Linings Playbook.
Again, you just named three movies that aren't necessarily going to get... There are three types of movies that may not get nominated.
I'll be stunned if they don't. I'll be stunned if all three of those don't. Something has to go drastically, drastically wrong. But that's so that's the thing. I was happy because
don't touch that skillet.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fair. Tortillas with this underneath.
And the butter chicken.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot. You're welcome. I don't know whose knife this is.
That's mine. Don't eat it.
No?
Nope.
All right.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thanks. I will be stunned, shocked, at least if Hobbit does not get Best Picture nomination.
I mean,
you know, we're
Academy's really not big fans of fantasy films.
But all three of the other ones got nominated.
Yeah,
all three.
Awesome.
Well, okay. So there's that. But I am happy, as I said, having seen it. I am a fan. I will defend that movie to the death. It is a really, really well made film that I think a lot of people are going to overlook. So I was happy to see it and surprised. How has your festival been overall? Again, like we've seen a few in common. I'm thinking of stuff like Francis Ha and Much Ado, of course. But you've seen a lot of stuff that I didn't see. It sounds like you had a good week.
I had a great week. I'm loving everything. I walked out of one film, which was on my second day.
Tell people about that.
It's the new Gondry film.
Which is surprising.
Because I generally like stuff. And I was fully prepared to love this movie. And it opens with almost the entire song of Bust a Move. So I'm like,
is it set in the 80s?
I don't even
like, why Bust a Move?
I don't know.
Just
remember.
Him being him?
Yeah, I don't actually remember. Maybe it does. I mean, there's not really a plot, so I don't think it is. No, I don't think it is. But
I wonder why you walked out.
And the whole thing, it's just kids on a bus.
Okay.
And
on a school bus.
No, it's actually like a public
bus. City bus?
A city bus, but they're students who all take the city bus.
Okay.
It's just... I knew 15 minutes in that I was going to leave. I've never left a movie before it ended before. I held out till 45 because I thought it might go somewhere. And it's just, like, you know how every person we know kind of hates teenagers?
Yeah.
That sounds
horrible, teenagers who listen
to
this.
Picture, like, the most obnoxious teenager that you could ever imagine. And then just have them bullying each other and all just kind of laughing and joking about it. And even bullying, like, old people and kids who were on this bus as well. And just that's it.
But didn't he get to any of the Gondry quirk?
Well, no. Nobody was likable.
But wasn't there anything in the movie at all? Because he's very arts and crafty. Like, he'll do the things, like, where he'll make, like, props out of cardboard.
No.
But nothing of that? Mm-hmm. Really? That's surprising.
It was... I really hated it. For me to walk out of a film.
Yeah.
And of course, none of the filmmakers were there. I would have stayed and been polite if anybody from the... announced.
You wouldn't have put your hand up and said, dude, what the hell?
No, I would never do that.
I
also wouldn't have wanted to be seen walking out of a film if they
the
had...
Director
a,
could
if
see
the director could have seen me or anyone, but they didn't announce anyone beforehand, so I'm polite. Okay. I just kind of snuck out.
Did anything else jump out for you?
Let me look at my list, because I don't remember everything that I've seen.
Yeah. How many? You saw 26?
25, because I skipped one.
Okay.
The Brass Teapot is a lot of fun.
Tell me about that, because I did want to see that.
The Brass Teapot stars Juno Temple, who's great.
She's having a very good year.
She's great in this movie. And it's basically about this kind of down-on-their-luck couple, who are just kind of like working-class, young couple who aren't doing so hot. And they literally find a brass teapot, and they discover quickly that when you cause physical pain, the brass teapot will fill with money.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the American dream. Like, if they can have it, but they have to pay for it. They have to suffer for it. So it's a lot of them beating the shit out of each other, literally beating the shit out of other people, trying to get the teapot near physical violence so that the teapot will be happy. And then there's kind of this mystical stuff on the side. But it's a great movie.
That sounds really, really
slightly
cool.
Weird, but it's really interesting.
We should tell people about one that we both saw separately that I kind of want people to try and track down if they can. We both chose it, like, off the draw, too. It wasn't even, like, one that we heard about going along. Because there are a lot of those that somebody recommends and we pick up. But Ghost Graduation...
Mm.
Which, to my listeners, imagine what would happen if the Breakfast Club kids died in that library and their ghosts couldn't leave the school. And it is more or less that, except they get a teacher in who's like Haley Joel Osment, and he can see dead people, so he ends up trying to get these kids to figure out their shit so that they can move on to whatever's next. You saw it first.
Yeah, and the reason why I picked it was because, one, the photo in the program book looked like The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And two, I didn't even read what the plot was. The first line said Breakfast Club meets Ghostbusters, and they had me.
Yeah.
They had me at Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
They completely had me at Ghostbusters.
Yeah, this is a Spanish film.
It's a Spanish film. What's upsetting is that they've already, during the festival, they sold the rights to Will Smith's company to remake it for American audiences, and I really wish people could just see this version of it and not...
That is my hope, is that this gets some sort of play.
His company did also buy the rights to distribute this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it's going to get limited in the U.S. I don't know about Canada.
But I'm hoping it hits Netflix, is my point. Because that seems to be the main delivery device these days.
This was more fun and more well-made than I expected. I kind of expected some kind of low budget.
Pretty.
It looks
pretty. Yeah.
It was great looking.
It's got some fantastic Spanish actors. The two male leads, the teacher and like the head of the PTA, their next movie that they're doing together is by Almodovar. So these are good actors that he gets for this thing that seems really slight. But and of course they use Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Great, thank you.
Do you need anything?
No, we're great, thank you. They use Total Eclipse of the Heart three times in the span of...
I thought it was four, but...
Maybe four. I thought I counted three. Yeah. That was definitely a great one for me as well.
I really like The Deflowering of Eva Von End.
Spoilers how that ends.
Yes, I kept waiting.
Three guesses what happens
the
there.
The whole movie happened. When's she going to get deflowered?
Oh.
It's actually...
And then.
It very heavily takes from Welcome to the Dollhouse. Very heavily.
Oh, well, in that case, sign me up.
But the director does say, in the Q&A, he did say that was one of his inspirations.
Okay.
And except it's not as depressing.
Like, really?
It
certainly sounds depressing.
No, it's absolutely not as... I don't know what the right word is. But when you just kind of hate your life after you watch Welcome to the Dolls, I love the movie.
Okay.
But it's very dark.
Yeah.
And this is still dark, but not as dark.
I've been asking everybody this week two questions. Now, they've all given me different answers because my three other guests, Jess, Tom, and Andrew, this is all their first festival. In the case of Tom, it's not his first festival, period. It's his first TIFF. The other two, it's their first film festival, period, near as I can tell. But the first question was there any surprises for you this week at all? You're grinning about something.
Because if I say surprises, you're so not going to like my answer.
No, just in general. Not even isolated to the films, just the week on the whole. Going to and fro, being here and there, just getting in and out of stuff, getting tickets. Was there any surprises for you at all?
Not really.
Nothing?
No, I mean, I've done this so many times. I was kind of surprised how much I was alone this year.
Were you?
I had 8 films on my own out of 25. Whoa. I mean, I had other films where I was with like 9-10 people. Mm-hmm. And then I would go to, like, one day I had 2 films on my own, and then I had a film where everybody I knew was there.
Wow. I was the opposite. I only had 2 by myself. And near as I can tell, I have never, certainly since we started like having the group, so basically in the last 3 years, I have never had only 2 by myself.
Well, what I'm kind of happy about is I chose my films just based on what I wanted to see. The reason why I was alone a lot is because I don't think I picked the same movies that a lot of people picked.
You didn't cave to peer pressure.
No, I didn't. And I have enjoyed so many of the films that I saw this year, like a lot, that I'm fine that I was by myself.
My suggestion to you, though, was that when, like, it was also just that you were on the opposite schedule of everybody.
Yeah, there was some stuff I saw early in the festival that other people saw later.
Yeah.
But it was the only way I could fit it in. I don't care. I just want to see what I want to see. If I'm not with other people, that's fine. But one film I should mention that was great and you didn't see was Blancanieves. Blancanieves? How do you say that?
Blancanieves.
So good.
Snow White in Spanish.
It's Snow White and it's not Snow White. It's like inspired by Snow White.
No, Blancanieves is Snow White.
Oh, is that what it actually is? It's a silent film in black. Oh, it's beautiful. It's, of all the films I saw, that was the most technically perfect film in terms of filmmaking. I don't know what
that was. So that was a surprise for you because that didn't seem like the kind of thing you'd go after.
I've seen a silent film almost every year I've been to the fest.
No, I know, but that one looks a little bit heavier than most. Like the pictures of a matador.
I know that. I was a little worried about that because, you know, I have really strong feelings about Matadors.
Yeah.
When we saw Talk to Her.
You had trouble with that.
I had trouble with that.
Well, and then you love what the Matador gets.
And what?
You kind of quietly cheered.
Yeah, I know this is terrible, but when we the beginning of that movie, you see a female Matador get
gored.
And then she's like in a coma for most of the film. And I found myself not rooting for her because I had no sympathy for this woman who got gored. So I was a little worried about this. I was like, oh my god, it's based on a Matador. I'm going to be ready to not sympathize with the character. But no, there was no goring of bulls in this, so I was okay with it.
That's cool. My surprise is actually how tired I am not.
I'm very tired. I do not have that
time. I know. It mostly stems from, this is the first year in a long, long time I have not been getting up and going down to the box office first thing in the morning, because we scored really, really well off the draw, and the schedule is just in such a way now that it made adding on screenings really difficult. So because of that, this morning was actually my earliest start to the entire festival. This morning I got up at 7:30, and it's only because the subways in Toronto don't run that early on a Sunday. So every other morning I've been getting up at 8, 9, 10. Friggin' Friday, my first show wasn't until 3. So...
I did have time off from work during the festival, but that didn't start till Tuesday. Leading up to the festival, I had worked over a 2-week period, 200 hours.
Yeah.
So by the time day one of the festival started,
you were already in the hole.
I was already in a state where I could barely see straight. I was so exhausted, and I have not had a day to recover from that. So I really,
we call that Monday.
Yes.
But that's my surprise. Is usually by now I'm seeing double.
I am seeing double.
And it was the genesis of, like, I've got tomorrow off from the office as well, and it was the genesis of giving myself that come down day, because usually by now I'm just running on fumes. I'm okay, which is kind of surprising. So that's my biggest shock, is that I am not dead on my feet, mm-hmm. but usually I am. Did you have a favorite moment at all to this festival, again, inside the screening or outside the screening?
This is going to sound really pathetic because I'm a grown woman, but I was very excited to see Emma Watson in person.
Wow.
Very, very excited. Hermione was in front of me. I'm sorry, but...
That's okay.
But that was exciting for me.
Was the attitude at that screening what I could expect?
Are you saying it was all, like, teenagers?
No, I'm asking, was it a bunch of striped scarves in the audience?
No, it wasn't, actually.
Really?
No.
Wow.
So, and the movie's great.
Well, the movie looks awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to mock the movie. I'm trying to mock the fans.
And another thing that, like, I almost skipped a movie last night, you know, because I was so tired. And yeah. I had some time off earlier on, so I had gone home. And I had a 9 o'clock screening, and I was just not going to go because it was for Byzantium by Neil Jordan, which I had heard all week. People said, oh, it's slow, it's kind of boring.
Including me.
Including you. And not just you, like, everybody I know had said it was a slow, boring movie. It's a vampire film. Who don't know? Sorry, what's her name?
Gemma Arterton and Saoirse Ronan.
Yes. So Sasha convinced me very last minute to get my ass out there and go see it. And I was so surprised that, as tired as I was going to this movie that I expected to be dead boring, because that's all I'd heard all week, that I loved it. I don't know if I'm just in a place where I'm predisposed to like everything. We should talk about Werewolf Boy.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that was certainly a surprise for me.
Okay. So I picked this movie called A Werewolf Boy, which is a South Korean film. Didn't actually read the plot. I just saw it had the word werewolf in the title. I went to see it by myself earlier in the festival, and I loved it so much. I was, like, sobbing during it. I just loved it so much. So afterwards, I tweeted how much I loved it. Coria Tad, based on my tweets, went and got a ticket to another screening of it, and then you went and got a ticket to it.
Yeah. Now, and we should also point out, I don't always trust your recommendations. I often do. I don't always. And it's just because I know where our tastes split. I
all
like
over.
That we have different tastes.
Yeah.
If you liked everything that I liked, this relationship would be very boring.
No, I don't know why, but I genuinely thought that you would all love this movie. I genuinely thought everybody would love it.
So flip to 2 or 3 days later, where myself and Corey Todd and Jason Gorber go to see this movie. And my God. Like, first of all, it took me about 20 minutes to understand why you loved it so much, because the movie really could be titled A Girl and Her Pet Werewolf.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a girl and her dog is what it is. And Lindsay is a dog person. I like dogs, but I wouldn't qualify myself as a dog person. And the one thing I've always heard over the 11 years we've been together is how a dog is nothing but loving, a dog is nothing but loyal, and my God, did they put this in that movie.
Yeah. It's basically Twilight if the relationship between Bella and Edward wasn't romantic, if it was just like...
No, it's Harry and the Hendersons is what it is. It is Harry and the friggin' Hendersons.
Oh my God, that's what it was.
Right down to the bitter end. My God. So, yeah, this catastrophe...
No, it was good. I loved it.
Listen, it certainly made for an amusing moment in my week. I could not believe what I was witnessing.
I could not believe
that I'd been there voluntarily.
I just don't understand, because I loved it so much. I don't know
what I know exactly why you loved it, too.
Because it was awesome?
Sure. That was.
I feel a little bad that you guys all went and saw it based on my opinion and hated it, but I really didn't think you were going to hate it.
It's the risk you run. My favorite moment of the week, it was a first for Tiff, was all the out-of-towners being here. It was really, really cool to be hanging out on Yonge Street with Tong and Cliff, to go to breakfast with Jux Rogers, to be, you know, hanging out in places that we normally go with people who have only been avatars and things. It's, you know, it doubles down on the community that we built here over the last few years. You know, like, hanging out with those people has been great, and by and large, they are our friends. This took all of that and added to it, because it brought us kind of a new group of friends, but it wasn't like we all arranged to meet up in like Chicago or New York, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like we planned all to descend on a particular film festival, because it was our hometown. I don't know if you got that or not.
Well, I didn't see people as much as you did, other than Andrew.
Who was all over the place.
G-Man Reviews, just because him and I had a lot of films in common.
Yeah.
The only reason why I met Jess Rogers is because I bailed on the Gondry film.
Right.
If I had stayed through that film, I never would have met her.
Right.
Tom I met briefly. Tom was great. I met him briefly after Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
And that was the only screening I had with him. I met Sam for like 2 minutes at Pub Night. Him and I had no, like, a lot of these people have, I've looked at their tipper list.
You just met the door for like 5 minutes.
Their tipper list would have like 30, 40 films on it, and I would have not a single screening with them, because I picked all these weird films.
But that was the thing that I liked, is not just, as I said, it's not like we all decided to go to Sundance, and we were all in our own hotels and like hitting all these spots and being like that together. The fact that they were here was really, really nice. And where we are right now, like where we live and where we work, the festival's kind of in the crosshairs of where we go. So all these spots that we were hitting, all these theaters and all these restaurants and all these bars, they're theaters and bars and restaurants that we go to as well. So, you know, the friggin' Scotiabank, which used to kind of be our home base, I'm sitting there with people from Trinidad and Australia, like, at a theater I go to often. So that, for me, was, like, by far the coolest thing. It'll actually kind of be hard to top. I'm hoping that a lot of them come back next year. I know G-Man has said that he wants to. I'm sure just around the corner. I'm hoping some more people can do it. I know a few more kind of got it, like, circled on their calendar already. But that, for me, was really, really cool. It was basically, we didn't even have people staying with us, but basically playing host.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite thing, by far. And unless you've got anything else, I'm about ready to wrap this sucker up.
I'm just looking through my film list to see if there's anything I want to mention.
Okay, well,
there was a fun film that you didn't see, called Key of Life. No. It's like a slapstick Japanese comedy that I kind of hope gets some kind of release.
There's a film you didn't see called Amour, which is beautiful, but my God, is it heartbreaking.
I saw a movie called Therme Rome. It was a Japanese film about an ancient Roman time traveler who time travels into a current day Japanese bathhouse. And he brings like the bathroom technology back to ancient Rome.
That's awesome.
It was kind of awesome.
There's another one, a Canadian one you didn't see, called My Awkward Sexual Adventure, where a guy's fiance basically breaks up with him because she finds him sexually boring, so he goes to try and be better.
And I'm pretty sure when I saw The Sessions, if John Hawkes does not get an Oscar nomination, I would be shocked.
Oh, that's what I hear. Well, one last thing before I wrap this up. The Matinee Cast proper is coming back next weekend, Monday, I think it's September 24th or 25th. We will be talking about The Master. My guest is going to be Jandy Stone, so do tune in for that. I usually ask a feedback question, and the feedback question for next one is kind of based on all this. What's a film-going experience that you want to have? Is there a festival you want to go to? Is there a theater out there that you want to hit? Is there some sort of thing of, like, seeing a film with a live accompaniment or something like that that you want to see? Let me know. Ryan at thematinee.ca, Twitter, Facebook, the blog. You can leave me comments all over the place. And I want to thank everybody who's tuned into even one of these, because they've been a lot of fun to do. And I don't know when. I'm never going to sit with these people again and have podcasts. So
you can sit with me anytime.
Yeah, I trust me, people love when I do. So I'm sure this one is going to be the most popular one by far. But for Lindsay, I'm Ryan. I will see you at the matinee and at TIFF 2013. It's a wicked